for that song, I Will Serve Thee. What a great ambition for 2020 to serve the Lord. Amen. You know, I mentioned in our Sunday school class about praying for our president and for the troops that's been deployed, and, you know, the terrorists, you know, they attack American interests, and President Trump has sent troops in response to those threats. And I'm thankful for our president, but we certainly need to pray for wisdom. But I thought of an analogy of that truth, and the analogy is this. Satan has attacked us. He is attacking us. He's attacking our church. He's attacking our families. He's attacking God's people. And we need to launch troops into his territory. You know, he's launched threats. Well, let's return by going 2020. And this is not my message, but I just want you to turn to Matthew 16. About this analogy. It kind of goes along with the message tonight. You'll see in a moment. But in Matthew 16, you know, Jesus in verse 15, he asks his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now think about the message this morning. Believe. I preached first message in the Gospel of John, and to believe what? That he is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not prevail. I don't know if you understand what this is teaching, but it's teaching that God's people are taking the offensive and going, and the gates of hell can't prevail against us. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about us going on the offensive. We're sending troops out into to rescue souls from Satan's grasp. And I also was thinking about, in light of the message this morning, when I was looking at this afternoon, that he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." I realize Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock. But some have commented that Jesus is going to build his church upon this confession that Peter made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we have a message to go and take to the nations. We need to send our troops. Go 2020 Bible Baptist Church. And that's our response to Satan's attacks and his threats. Well, we'll move right on to the message tonight. Before I point you in the direction of our text, I want to just review, because tonight we're going to look at another spiritual discipline. And it's been a while since we've looked at spiritual discipline series. And so I want to just review on the purpose of preaching on these spiritual disciplines, just to remind you of why we have these messages. Well, the spiritual disciplines, they are spiritual activities. They are spiritual exercises or regimen that helps feed and fan our spiritual passion. That's how you define a spiritual discipline, something that will feed or fan your passion for Christ. And so that brings me to this question: what is spiritual passion? Well, it's knowing and loving Jesus Christ above all things. It's an intense desire and devotion to God. It's a fire in the soul for God and the things of God. And you may recall the quote by George Barna, the authority on statistics and churches today in America. He said, "Churches have lost their spiritual passion. America is spiritually stagnant. believers are seemingly mired in spiritual complacency. Christian ministry is stuck in a deep rut. And that's what he, based on statistics today among churches, that is what he wrote, that churches have lost their spiritual passion. So that's the reason, the purpose that I've been preaching on these disciplines. And I want to challenge and encourage you to go back and review those disciplines that we've covered already, because they're so vital, especially the first four are the most important that we've covered. Tonight we're going to start with number eight. We're on number eight. But I want to also kind of review what Brother Bennett said about the spiritual disciplines. He said there are opportunities to simply love God and be loved by Him. There are avenues for greater intimacy with and enjoyment of God. There are doorways into intimate encounters with God. There are channels to help us grow in becoming like Jesus. There are means to necessary daily filling of the Spirit. And so those are things that I hope that you desire in your Christian life. And if you desire those things in your Christian life, then you need to practice these disciplines in your life. Now, I want you to turn to our text tonight in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, we'll read verse 41 to kind of give a little bit of the context. The apostles were threatened by the council and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were even beaten. But it says here in verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this early church. The early church says daily. Daily in the temple, that's publicly they were teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. And then he says, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So publicly and privately, they were engaged in evangelism on a daily basis. And so the spiritual discipline we're going to look at tonight is personal, daily personal evangelism. I call it daily personal evangelism for a reason. I could have just said evangelism, but no. We look here, it was daily, and it was personal. It wasn't just a preacher preaching. It wasn't just a missionary preaching. It was God's people personally witnessing and sharing and teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. You know, the early church was so passionate about Jesus. You know, this is not very far away from Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and you know, they were filled with the Spirit, and they were very passionate for Christ. And you know, before that time, you know, they were, for fear of the Jews, they were hiding in the upper room. But partly because Christ told them to wait for the promise of the Father. But when they received the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, they were so passionate and they were so zealous about sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with others. Even though it meant persecution, even though they were beaten and threatened, we find here that that didn't stop them. Even though the authorities told them, you cannot preach in this name anymore. Even though they beat them and threatened them, it says daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, I think you'd agree with me that goes pretty much along with our theme this year, Go 2020, Mobilizing Disciples for the Mission. This is the mission. This is the mission right here, to teach and preach Jesus Christ, both publicly and in every house. You know, I think about not only the early church, but if you'll look in Luke chapter 22, you'll find that even our Savior, He practiced this on a daily basis. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 53, when they were coming to arrest Jesus, He said this, "When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." You know, He said, when I was daily with you in the temple, he was daily in the temple with them teaching and preaching. You know, Jesus, when you look at His life and ministry, you can see that that's what He did. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And as I mentioned on Wednesday night, He said, come. He said, if any man will come after me, if any man will follow me, I will make him a fisher of men. And so if we follow Christ, that's what he's going to do. He's going to make us. And He's going to make us into fishers of men. And I want to just pause just for a minute now and just say, after having said that, that I honestly need this myself. I want to hone this discipline in my life. I want to work on this discipline. Just like I like to work on my skills in running and seeing how far I can go and seeing how far I can push my limits. I want to do that in the area of evangelism. I really do. And I don't think you'll ever meet any Christian who would ever say, I'm as evangelistic as I should be. You know, when it comes to daily personal evangelism, what does that look like? I mean, I want you to imagine a picture of what most churches' evangelism programs look like. Most, it's like if you could imagine up here around this pulpit, 10-foot high pile of gospel seeds. You know, we've got a lot of seed right here that's preaching the gospel from this pulpit. But how many seeds do we have out there? How many of these seeds are we taking with us and sowing those seeds in the community? I think that's the way it looks like. It's focused in the temple. It's focused in the church. But it says also in every house. And so what does this look like? What does this look like for you and I? And I will admit that it's not an easy habit to practice in our Christian lives. It's certainly not. I know that our Grow team, for example, when we go out on Grow, I know for me, when I go out on Grow and make a visit, especially if I know that that person is an unsaved person, it's easy for me to go there and share the gospel, because that was our intention. We come together for Grow. We're intentionally going out, seeking opportunity to share the gospel. And so it's really not hard to do when it comes to Grow, or when it comes to when we're scheduling visits to go talk to people about the Lord, or going to the hospital and somebody is sick and they're not saved. And I mean, those kind of situations, for me anyway, it's easy to share the gospel, because it's like you've got it in your mind before you go, I'm going to go share the gospel. I'm preparing myself. I'm preparing for what I'm going to say. I'm praying, God, just give me the wisdom. Give me your leadership and help me to share the gospel. Prepare this person's heart. But when it comes to a daily basis, it's hard. It's something that we have to make it a discipline, a habit in our life. And I'll tell you what it looks like, because I failed the last 2 days. And it's like the Lord reminded me, I wasn't disciplined in my mind that that's what I was going to go do. And I mentioned this morning that Friday when I went to Dalhart, I went over there Friday afternoon to make a run around the lake. And when I got there, as I shared this morning, there's a man looking for a 17-year-old boy that was going to, they feared it was going to do something to himself. And the police were searching for him. And of course, later I I saw that they did find the body, and a 17-year-old did take his life in Dalhart, and a very sad, very, very sad moment. But going back to that person, I don't know if it was the dad or who it was that came to me and asked if I'd seen a tall boy. And because in my mind at the time, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, they were yelling and hollering this boy's name. And I was kind of a little bit antsy because I was like, you know, what's going on, you know? And so I was kind of on alert, you know, what's going on. So when he walked up, I was just kind of really alert, you know, didn't know if it was a threat or what was going on. And so when I said I hadn't seen him because I had just gotten there, then when he told me about the police and about this boy probably wanting to take his life, it really didn't sink in at first. He walked away and he got a phone call, and he started walking back up the hill there, the ramp up to where he parked up there at the top. And as he was walking and he was on the phone, it was going through my mind, you know, I should pray with him. But just like that, he was gone. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, Lord, I wish I would have been intentional. I wish I'd have been thinking about an evangelistic opportunity. Because if that was the dad or a family member or a loved one, it would have been a great opportunity to just say, can I pray for you? Can I just pray that y'all would find him? Can I just pray that the Lord would help you? You know, that's where I dropped the ball. That's what I'm talking about. That's what it looks like. It's like we're prepared when situations like that. And this morning was another example. And so I'm being very transparent with you. I'm just telling you this is how it is. And so this is what I want to work on. This is what it looks like. This morning, I was really hungry. I got up early. I come to church early. And so there really wasn't much to eat at home for breakfast, but cereal is fortified with iron, and so I need to stay away from iron. And so I thought, well, forget that. I'm just going to stop at Wendy's on the way and get a breakfast sandwich because I've never tried theirs. Well, I get to the light, they're closed. They're not open until 7. I'm like, and so I'm looking around. Burger King looks closed, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm hungry. What am I going to do? So I head down to Love's, and I go into Love's, and I get me one of those gas station breakfast burritos, and not too good, but anyway, there's a man there. He's doing the same thing. He's mixing his coffee, and I ask how he's doing, and then, you know, I said, he asked how I'm doing. I said, well, I'm looking at these burritos, and he said, well, they can't kill you, and I said, oh, really? But anyway, I got it, and I went to the counter, and I'm just in my, I was kind of frustrated because I had planned to go to Wendy's. I was just kind of frustrated. I was running late. I wanted to get here earlier than I got here this morning. And so I was just, because of that frustration, I wasn't thinking about witnessing. And so this lady said, are you going to work? And are you getting ready to go to work? I just said, well, yeah. So I paid and left, and I got out in the car, and I thought, you know, the Lord just convicted me and said, there you had two people right there. I didn't have a track in my pocket. Of course, I just had my suit dry cleaned, and so I took all the tracks out and forgot to put them back. So I didn't have any tracks in my pocket. I just like totally unprepared. And so what I'm telling you is what this looks like is that wherever we go, we're ready. We're ready to share Christ. We're ready to give a track. We're ready to speak a kind word to someone. You know, we're prepared. We're thinking about it. We're disciplining our minds and being intentional that as we go out, we are seeking to share the gospel in some way. It could be something small. Maybe God might open an opportunity to go through the entire gospel with them. You never know what God might do. But it's being intentional about it on a daily basis. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're not talking about just going out on growth. We need that. Yes, we need to come together, and as a church, we need to work together and team together. But I'm talking about tonight a personal, daily personal evangelism. And I believe that's what the church was doing here. They were being intentional about it on a daily basis. And like many things in life, to do them, you have to be disciplined. Amen, Brother Trapper?
Amen.
I went running with him a week or so ago, and I didn't tell him to start running. He just wanted to start running. I thought about preaching on discipline of exercise tonight. That would have been easy for me. But no, I'm preaching on something that's hard. And so it takes discipline. Anything that's really good and that's going to be valuable for us, like Bible reading, daily Bible reading, studying the Word, meditating the Word, daily prayer time in the garden, those disciplines we talked about, they're good for us. Would you not agree? Are they not going to draw us closer to Christ? They're going to help our faith grow. They're going to help us face today. They're going to help us walk in the Spirit. But we have to discipline ourselves to do them, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, it comes to this question. Should evangelism be a desire or a discipline? And I could even ask about Bible reading, about prayer, about meditation. Should it be a desire, or should it be a discipline? Well, I want to say it should be both. Really, I think it should be both. I mean, I should desire to work, the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:2. I should desire to draw near to God in prayer. I should desire to meditate on His Word. I should desire to tell people about Christ, because it's a matter of eternity for them, where they're going to spend eternity. I should desire to please Christ. I should desire to walk with Him. But you know, there's a lot of things we desire. Like maybe you desire this year to lose weight. That's a good thing, but if you don't discipline yourself to do it, you won't do it. You see my point? It's like we can desire to tell people about Christ. We can desire to see people saved. We can desire to be a witness. And we should be desiring to be a witness. But we also must discipline ourselves to do it. You know, it's even me. I know people think I'm crazy. I desire to run. Sometimes it hurts, but It's just an outlet for me to put stress away. It's a way for me to have longevity in my ministry and my health. It's good for me. And so I desire to do it. But you know what? I wouldn't do it if I didn't discipline myself. I have to. There's a lot of times I think, no, I don't want to do it. I want to just take it easy. But I have to be disciplined about it to do it. Same way with this discipline of daily personal evangelism. We have to be disciplined. I want to just say that if we're to maintain our desire for evangelism, if we're to maintain our passion for Christ, we must discipline ourselves to practice it. And I want to read a quote from a book, Habits of Grace. It's a book about spiritual disciplines. He calls them Habits of Grace. And it's by David Mathis. And he said about evangelism, we will only go so deep with Jesus until we start yearning to reach out. When our life in Him is healthy and vibrant, we not only ache to keep sinking our roots deep down in Him, but we also want to stretch out our branches and extend His goodness to others. But not only does going deep with Jesus soon lead us to reach out to others, but also reaching out leads us deeper with Him. In other words, getting on board with Jesus' mission to disciple the nations may be the very thing he uses to push through your spiritual lethargy and jumpstart your stalled sanctification. I hope you got that. I know it's kind of a long quote there, but of several sentences. But what he's saying is that this evangelism can jumpstart our spiritual lives. It can help fuel our passion for Jesus Christ. And I believe that with all my heart. I tell you, there's nothing more exciting than talking to somebody about the Lord. I mean, getting to that point can be scary. Getting to that point can be like, you drag your feet and not do it. But once you get started, it's exciting. It's exciting to see people engaged and hearing the gospel message. And it's even more exciting when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That is so exciting. It should be something that we delight to do because of how exciting it really is to do it. But it's sad how we don't do it. Even though it's exciting, we don't do it. We have to discipline ourselves to do it. And, you know, we can come up with all kinds of reasons as why we don't do it. We could say, well, fear. Probably the biggest one would be fear. Just afraid. Maybe fear of what they're going to say, or fear you're not going to say the right thing, or just fear keeps us from sharing. It could be other things like lack of faith. We don't share it because we think, well, they're not going to be interested. They don't really want to hear it anyway. They're just set in their ways. Or it could be because we have wrong priorities in our life. Right? We're just more concerned about temporal things instead of eternal things. It could be that just laziness. We're just lazy. It could be a lack of love for Christ, a lack of passion for Christ, and in turn for souls. But really, when you come down to it, I believe the main reason is because we don't discipline ourselves to do it. Because if we discipline ourselves to do it, it'll take care of all those things. You want to overcome fear? Go out and do it. Just go, and the Lord will help you conquer that fear. It's amazing how that works. And if you're having trouble with loving sinners and your passion for Christ is waning, there's nothing that'll get you fired up like going and telling somebody about Christ. You know, I love to hear when Christians come and tell me, guess what? I got to talk to somebody about the Lord this week. I mean, when they tell me, it's with excitement. I mean, they're like, it just gave them a boost that they needed. And I was excited to hear Miss Melinda's told me her story. She handed out her first gospel tract here, I guess, a month or two ago. And she's starting to learn how to do that. And she's so excited about that. That's what it's about. It's exciting. I want you to look in Colossians chapter 4. Let's look over in Colossians chapter 4 real quick. In Colossians 4 and verse 5, he said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So what is he talking about here? Those that are without. Well, those that are without Christ. Those that are without the church. That are outside of the church. Outside of salvation. Outside of Christ. Outside the household of faith. And so that's what he's referring to here. And I want you to notice the words in these verses, which indicate that evangelism requires some disciplined thought and planning. It requires some disciplined thought and planning. Because from what we get from these verses, we should be careful about our testimony around lost people. Because he says, walk in wisdom. toward them that are without. That takes some planning, some thought, that we have to be careful about our testimony, be careful about what we say, be careful about how we act and our attitude and all those things. And notice what he says, redeeming the time. You know, this redeeming, the buy back. And the best I can understand what this phrase meant is that to make the most of every opportunity, because our time is short. That's the idea of buying back the time. You know, we can't buy back time that's gone. We know that. But what it's talking about is making the most of the time that we have. Redeeming the time. Making the most of it. Every opportunity. You know, I think that's pretty practical, and it requires some planning. It requires some discipline for us to, when we go out, you know, I don't know if you remember, we had a missionary to England. I knew his name was going to slip my mind. Not the Grissoms, but they work with the Grissom family. But anyhow, this missionary was here and he was preaching, and he talked about how, you know, the field in England, and he talked about he went to the same barber for years. He'd go with the same person because he was building relationship. He wasn't going there just because he was a good barber, but he was going there because he had intentions of sharing Christ with him. And you know, for me, honestly, I rarely go to a convenience store. And I think it's largely because of my mom and dad. That's where I was raised. I mean, I just make do with at home. I just don't go out to the convenience store very much. Like this morning, it was just a rare occasion for me to go to one of these places. And I do when I'm traveling. But I'm just saying, when I'm in town, I mean, I don't stop at Pack-a-Sack. I come to the church and get coffee. I'll get a bottle of water. I'll go home. That's just me. But after this morning, I was thinking, well, maybe I need to make room in my budget, just start stopping at the convenience store and get to know these people and just go there regular and talk to them and give them a track. And that's what I'm talking about. Being intentional about whether it's convenience store, whether it's your barber or your beautician or the person that does your nails or the grocery store clerk or whatever it is, if we don't intentionally discipline ourselves to plan and pray, they're not going to get the gospel, and we're not going to share the gospel. We have to have an intention of doing it. We have to put it in our thoughts and planning. We have to make the most of every opportunity God gives us. He said, let your speech be with grace. Be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So careful thoughts and you know, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And just with that thought, I want you to think about this. You know, I mentioned this morning about the man born blind that was healed. And I mean, moments later, he's telling people about Jesus. He doesn't have any soul-winning training, doesn't have any doctrinal teaching. He just tells what happened with him. And let me just say this, that if you have been changed by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know more than most people you talk to. You may sit here and think, well, I don't know much. I don't know what to tell. You know more than most people. If you have believed the gospel, how that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and that Christ saved you from your sins when you believed and trusted him, you know more than most people that you talk to. However, I will say, based on this verse, that you may know how you ought to answer every man, you ought to get to know the key aspects of the gospel. You know, you can take a gospel track and just study that gospel track and just look at that track and just learn the key aspects of the gospel, how that we are a sinner, and how that there's a consequence for our sins. How that God loves us and He doesn't want us to die in our sins. And so He sent Christ to die for our sins in our place. And how that He rose again. And how that we need to put personal faith in Christ and call on Him for salvation. You know, some of those just basic aspects of the gospel, you need to know those things. You need to start memorizing scriptures of key gospel verses. You know, one of the greatest verses, and this verse I've used more than any other verse in the Bible when witnessing, especially when it's a witness that's just spontaneous and very, very short, where the time is limited, is Romans 6:23. If you can memorize Romans 6:23, you can share the gospel easily. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is so easy to take that verse and show them that we are sinners and there's a wage for our sin, and that wage is death. And death means separation from God. It means the second death if we die in our sins. There you have it. You preach the bad news. Then you go to the second half, the good news. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, I just shared it with you in just about a minute. It's so easy to take that verse and give them what they need to know to believe on Christ for salvation. Of course, some people it's going to take more time and if there's never been seed planted, but still, it gives you an opportunity to plant some seed just using that one verse, Romans 6:23. So start memorizing key scriptures. Write out your testimony. Write out your testimony briefly, a 5-minute or less testimony. Be prepared. Practice sharing your testimony. I tell you what, there's nothing that God can use more than your personal testimony of salvation to prepare people's hearts for the gospel. You know, Jesus told the man that He cast the demons out of in Mark 5, and He healed him. Mark 5:20, He told this man, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee." You know, this man didn't have any soul winning training. He was a demon possessed man. He was out there living among the tombs, and he was tormented with demons for a long time. But Jesus came and cast those demons out of him. He was in his right mind. He had come to know Christ. And he wanted to follow Christ. He wanted to go with Christ. He wanted to go with them and learn more about Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. Isn't that good? But Jesus told him, "No, I want you to go back home. I want you to tell all your friends. I want you to tell all your family what the Lord's done for you." That's what He told him. Just go tell them your testimony. Go tell them what the Lord has done for you, how He had compassion on you. Because that man, everybody knew that man. They knew who he was. And to see this transformed life, there's power in that. There's power in transformed life. You know, Paul used this testimony several times or several occasions. We have in Acts 22 and Acts 26 where he shared his testimony. He shared it before King Agrippa, how that Christ saved him. He goes through and shares it. That's how he shared the gospel with this king, was his using his own personal testimony. You know, whether it's a stranger or a friend or a family member, you can be sure of two things. First of all, you'll never meet someone that God does not love. Number two, you'll never meet a person that God does not want to bring to Himself. You know, that ought to encourage us. That really ought to encourage us. Now, I know some that still feel, "Well, I just don't think I can do this." Well, I want you to know that, well, let's just go to 1 Peter before I continue with that thought. 1 Peter 4. We're going to conclude at this verse. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a verse that some of you have been challenged to memorize. You know who you are. verse 10 and 11. As every man had received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now what's he talking about? As every man had received a gift, he's talking about spiritual gift. Every man, every Christian has received a gift. And here Peter breaks the gifts down. There are seven spiritual gifts, but he breaks the gifts down into two categories. He simplifies it for us. There are speaking gifts, there are serving gifts. I think you can see that very easily in these verses, because he says that in verse 10, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But look at verse 11. If any man speak, so he's talking about speaking gift, let him speak as the oracles of God. But if any man minister, this word minister means serve, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. And so I want you to think about something in light of this. This is a truth that I'm aware of, that there are many people in our congregation that have the gift, would be one of the serving gifts. The majority of the church is going to be that way, and every church is going to be serving gifts. There are going to be some in the church that have speaking gifts. But God puts all together to accomplish the Great Commission. They all work together. I saved this for last because I really want to encourage everybody to do your best to share Christ. You can do it. Even if you don't have a speaking gift, you can do it. You can do it. I guarantee you, you can do it. I've seen it, and I've seen many Christians do it. But I do want to give you this thought and this option that you can evangelize through serving. You can evangelize through serving. You may feel like, well, I'm not a gifted speaker, so, well, you can still be involved in daily evangelism. You say, Pastor, how can I be involved in daily evangelism? By just serving. How can I do that? I want to just give you some examples. Well, you can take meals to families, inviting them to church. I know a lady in our church, and most of you know Melba. She does that very often. She'll take cookies over. She told me here recently, had some new neighbors move in next to her. She went over there taking cookies to get to know them, to get to know their names, their children's names, and to pray for them. And those kids have come on the bus to church. And she keeps telling me, I keep praying that the parents will come to church one day. She's working on them. I mean, if you look at Miss Melba, she probably doesn't have a speaking gift. What is she doing? She is serving. She is ministering to this family. And through her ministry, she's going to get them to a place where they can hear the gospel. And there's been people in our church that have been saved because of Melba's serving ministry that she was serving. That's just an example. Inviting someone over that you know needs to be saved, invite them over for a meal, and have a church member there that has a speaking gift. Maybe your pastor, maybe your Sunday school teacher. And that would be a prime opportunity. You are serving by opening your home, providing a meal, bringing this lost person to your home, and allowing them to get an opportunity to hear about Christ. That's another way. Another way is what we're going to do this year and grow and go 2020 is that I kind of gave a little bit of a plan on Wednesday night. We'll give more, but we plan to go through the neighborhood. We're going to mark out the whole town. We're going to send a group through there, a group of our troops, just to pray. That's all they're going to do. So You're not going up to somebody and telling them about Christ. You're walking up and down, or you're driving up and down that street, or you're parking on that street, and you're praying for all those families in that area, because you know that in the next week there's going to be another team come through there and put track on every one of those doors. That's another way. Maybe you're good and fit and you want to get some exercise and lose some weight this year. Get on that team. Go door to door and put tracks on doors. Put door hangers on all those doors. That's not requiring you to speak, but you are involved in evangelism. You're involved in putting the gospel out. And then the next team comes along another week or two later, door to door, and using a survey. I picked up a couple of them in my office, but using one of these surveys, going to the door and just asking people, you know, our church has been through your neighborhood here in the last week or so, and we've left some literature. Did you receive that literature, and did you get a chance to read it? So that kind of opens the door and breaks the ice. And, oh, well, yeah, well, I hadn't had time to look at it. Yeah, I remember seeing that, yeah. Well, we're making our last sweep through your neighborhood, and we're just, this time we're out doing a survey. We would like to know how we can better serve our community. So would you have just about 3 to 5 minutes to answer 5 questions? And most people will do that. And of course, the last 2 questions have to do with eternal life and the 2 EE questions. But this will get the door open to get those questions and for people to be able to think about their eternal soul. And maybe even open opportunity, because if after those 2 questions, you can ask them if for a few minutes to share the gospel with them. But in that team, if you have a desire to know how to share the gospel, you would get on that team as a silent prayer partner. And you're going to be sitting there watching. And you're going to be listening. And you're going to be learning. That's how I learned how to, you know, I went with Brother Tracy Roby. Went with him. We went out knocking doors. We went out visiting people. And I watched him. I didn't do nothing. All I did was listen and pray. And that's how I learned. I didn't go to any soul winning class. I just, on the job, learned by watching and by listening. Within a couple of months, I had enough confidence. Even though I was very shy, even though I was an introvert, I had enough confidence. Hey, I can do this. I can do this. And another, there's actually probably 3 that we'll put on that team. There'll be a prayer partner, and then there'll be one that's going to be writing, filling out these questions while the person's talking, asking the questions, and the other one's writing. And so you may feel like, well, I don't have the speaking gift. Well, you can still be on the team. You can still fill this out. You can still pray. You can still go. What I'm saying is that there's a place for everyone. There's a place God has gifted every one of us specifically. We need to find what that is, and we need to be involved in His mission. His mission's for all of us. It's not just for missionaries and preachers. What I'm preaching tonight is a lot of Christians, in their minds, they think, well, that's the preacher's job. That's the missionary's job. No, it's every Christian's job. In Acts 8, when the persecution came, they were scattered. Everyone was scattered except the apostles. They went everywhere preaching Jesus. The apostles didn't go. They stayed back. All the Christians, they went out. All the believers, the disciples went out, and they preached Jesus. Churches were started because of their preaching. And so tonight, as you think about this discipline, this is a discipline that will give you an opportunity to feed your passion for Christ. Maybe you feel like right now it's just really waning, and it's, you know, I will tell you that you can have passion, and 3 weeks later, you can lose that passion just like that. You can just like, But you know what a lot of Christians do? They stay there. They don't do anything about it. You want to know how to get that passion back or how to keep that passion? Feed that fire. There's a little coal still there. Put some wood on that fire. Fan that fire. Get it going again. How do you do that? Spiritual disciplines. Feast in the Word of God. Meditate in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Daily confession of sin. Daily worship. Daily thanksgiving. Daily rejoicing. Daily witnessing. I tell you what, it'll work. I guarantee you. It will put some fire in your Christian life. Let's stand. Our dear Father, tonight we're so grateful, Lord, for the salvation that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as it was preached this morning in the Gospel of John, in Christ is life. It's life is in him. And people need life. They need eternal life. And Lord, I'm thankful for those here tonight that have trusted Christ as their Savior, that have life, that have Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for that, Lord. But there could be someone here that does not have life. Someone here that has not put their trust in Christ. They have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They have not entrusted him with the salvation of their souls. Lord, there's someone here like that tonight. I pray, Lord, that they would come. This invitation to come and put their faith and trust in Christ and to make a public confession of their faith in Christ. And Lord, I pray for your people, Lord, that are gathered here tonight, Lord, that, Lord, as we have been challenged by the early church, how that they daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Lord, that's something that's very convicting to me. Lord, I want to see that in my life. I want to grow in this area. I want to see my passion for Jesus grow. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord. Lord, help us to make it a discipline that we would prepare ourselves daily to look for those opportunities, to make the most of the opportunities you give us, to redeem the time for the days are evil. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have faith, to believe, Lord, that you have the power. You have the power, as was preached this morning. You have the power to give sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf. You have power to raise the dead. Lord, you can bring people to yourself to put faith in you. We just need to be obedient and go and share the message. Lord, help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.